and welcome to Encore. Encore is Near FM's Highlights of the Week programme. And on this week's edition, John Healy is joined on Northside Today by Madeleine Ebbs from DCC North Central, where they chat about some exciting things happening here in the local community. Later, Declan Ralph discusses this year's Philanthropist of the Year awards with Maura Horgan, Head of Marketing at the Community Foundation Ireland, on the Week in Review. And finally, Joni Tarrant is joined on Northside Today by Councillor Ailish Ryan of the Workers' Party, where they chat about the recent Ardesh and the homeless crisis here in Dublin. But first, on this week's edition of Encore, it's John Healy on Northside Today.
Madeleine Ebbs from DCC North Central, welcome into the studio.
Thanks very much, John.
An extra guest on the show today, but a very welcome one. We're going to do a catch-up on what's been going on around the area. I know there's walks, there's a new walk up in Darndale. Is the Stardust one still going?
It is, and I think one of your researchers actually approached my group in the Stardust Park there 2 weeks ago, and she was very interested to talk to somebody about that. Because that walk is attracting a lot of attention at the moment. It's been running since January 17th of this year. We've a core group of about 25 and meet every Tuesday morning at 9:30 and they do a 2K walk. The ages range from, I'd say, late 50s to early 80s. And these people are fit.
Yeah.
They are fit. They run around that 2K and they love it.
So we're not talking about mammies with their buggies.
Well, there's actually grandmothers in buggies.
Well, that's what's happening.
Grandmothers, I would love to attract younger people into the park. The feedback we were getting was people were kind of a little bit nervous because the Stardust, because it kind of had a bit of antisocial attached to it. But our parks department and Brian Dowling in particular has done a great job in cleaning the park up. And if you notice, if you're walking by now, you have a clear view from one side of the path right across to the other, because they've lifted, all the shrubbery is gone, all the low branches on the trees. So no matter where you are in the park, you have a clear view right across to the gate. So has actually eliminated antisocial, because there's nowhere to hide in the park anymore. So people are reporting all good things. So hopefully we can encourage some of the younger families in, please God, in the new year.
Because there were terrible things happening in that park, like syringes being left around and all that, and in kids' playgrounds and stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's horrible, really, really, horrible. Really, really sad. Really sad. But since now this shrubbery has been taken, I'm sure there's an official name for what they were, but since that has been taken out, it has eliminated all that hanging around and people hiding in the bushes. And so if there's anybody listening out there that likes parks, we want to get people back into all our parks, and in particular the Stardust, because it's a beautiful park in the middle of a housing area. So
and there's nothing to fear anymore.
Only fear itself, as they say.
Yes, but once you said everything's been cleared up, and
the parks and Brian Dowling has done a lovely job on the park.
And what about the football pitch in Darndale? I know we were having trouble with that
things have really turned around up there. The gateway scheme that we put in was a great success. Unfortunately, that's going to run out now in April. So I'm hoping the DSP will try and work with us to extend the contract of some of the guys down there. They've done a marvellous job cleaning up the park. So obviously the locals have kind of rode in. So again, a lot of the antisocial has been eliminated from there. We don't have any more stolen cars, burnt out cars. The rubbish dumping is at an all-time low. We still have a bit of a problem with horses. Maybe we'll have a bigger problem with bikes at Christmas.
The scramblers.
Appealing, while I have the chance here to appeal to parents that it's not a good idea to buy motorbikes for youngsters. They're not insured, they don't have tax, they don't have any formal training, they don't have a licence, and it's actually illegal to drive a motorised vehicle. So parents are actually, they're just wrong to buy these bikes for these kids.
Sure, you just see them outside the Civic Centre here doing wheelies up and down the road, and it's very, very dangerous.
It is, and they're putting everybody else in danger. So just trying to appeal to people just not to go down that road of buying the bikes.
Yeah, and unfortunately there was a tragedy over in Croncastle there.
Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, yeah. No, it's terrible.
Yeah, so parents out there, just say no, learn to say no to your kids when they're looking for these things.
I haven't said that. I haven't seen them in a while. So
oh, Christmas, maybe. Apparently. Yeah. Everybody is dreading it,
it's terrible.
Like, we have been talking to the local Gardaí, and all legislation will have to change, you know, to make it illegal to buy these bikes unless they're properly insured and taxed, and they are designed to go on the road. They're not for green areas or pathways, you know, so everybody will have to just be more vigilant.
Right, so that's two good things that's happened.
And we got our long-awaited fence up in the Darndale Park. The fence has gone in, and in the new year, please God, City Council and Parks are going to work on putting two pitches in for the Darndale FC and visiting teams. We've done up the pavilions for the changing rooms, so for away teams coming over to play, like, the place is really looking. It's very best at the moment, and then we have added a park run every Saturday morning. And we've people from all over Dublin coming to Darndale to run in the park or walk in the park. And I didn't think I'd have ever seen this. And
that's brilliant.
I'm very excited by the park.
Yeah, I'd say it's very fulfilling for you when you see these things happen.
So I stand there on a Saturday morning and see people driving up in their cars and coming to walk and run in the Darndale Park it's phenomenal. For me, it is, definitely.
On Saturday mornings, you're still out and about.
We're up there from around 8:30, 9 o'clock to get the place all ready. The Gateway lads, have to say, are amazing. They've rode in on a Saturday morning. They put down all the posts, all the signs. Stephen Kennedy, I have to say, in particular, Mick Walsh, they're amazing local guys.
Yeah.
And they're up there on a Saturday morning supporting this and doing everything that has to be done to make it a success.
Is this a CE scheme these guys are on?
They were on some sort of unemployment benefit. There was a government initiative about 3 years to have this Gateway scheme. We got the tail end of the guys before the scheme was finished. But we got 10 local guys to work in the park. 5 of them have got permanent employment from the City Council.
That's brilliant.
So, I mean, that'll tell you how successful the scheme was. And we were left with 5 guys, and 3 of them have just turned up, and they just turn up trumps every Saturday morning to come down and give a dig out with the park run.
I was only talking to the Northside Partnership earlier, and we were talking about people on CE schemes and volunteers in particular, and the time they give up.
Yeah, well, we're hoping on the 14th of December we're meeting with the Northside Partnership with regard to putting some sort of a similar scheme into this Stardust Park. Like, it'd be great if local people, whether they're on some sort of an unemployment benefit or retired, if locals were to get involved in their green areas, their local parks, like, it's to benefit your community.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a win-win situation then for everybody.
Yeah, we were talking about volunteers, and we were talking about football and boxing clubs
and
that you're involved in.
Look at the work.
Is there anything you're not involved in, Madeline?
I'm sure there is, but a bit of bad news, actually, a bit of bad news. The people who own the site up there, the old Atlantic Home Care, have decided to sell the site, and our Glen Boxing Club now are going to be without a home in 4 weeks' time.
And a lot of money went into that.
Apart from even the financial investment, the personal investment from the guys involved in the boxing club, the City Council, Northside, Alan McCabe in particular, in Northside Shopping Centre, the people who were all involved in that, Deirdre Smith from the NCU. So much went into it, and it was like, oh, we were just wiped
That's
out on
terrible.
Monday. Yeah. So I have to change my Santi wish list now from something I was going to ask him for. Now I'm asking for a premises for the boxing club. I just have to stay pretty hopeful that something will show up for them, because they have 120 local kids boxing. They have taken numerous titles. In particular, the girls are doing extremely well, so it will be an awful shame if we don't come up with something.
Yeah, they've won a couple of world titles.
They have, yeah. He's created, Brian Foley up in the boxing club has created future champions up in that club already.
So this is, we're talking about our children being taken in off the street.
Absolutely.
And being looked after and being taught.
Absolutely.
Discipline.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, so it's a no-brainer. Somebody has to sort.
So we're looking for premises. If there's anybody out there knows of a premises for this boxing club, we'd be delighted to take it off your hands.
Okay. And I know Kilmore Celtic as well is talking to Dean Russell there a while ago. And was it you telling me they're looking for a premises?
They're chasing premises, which we're trying to help out with that as well. We're working on something at the moment, and hopefully That will come into fruition, because I would love to see them with their own clubhouse, because again, they're all volunteers, yep. and these people are doing great work with the kids in this community.
And they have loads of teams. They've yeah. kids teams,
and apparently
teams,
they all did.
Teams.
I don't know yeah. anything about football, but apparently they did
they
very
did,
well
they
in
did, yeah.
leagues
yeah.
and championships. And I hope I'm using all the correct terminology. But Frank Derby, his wife Rosemary, Dean Russell,
yes, right.
All doing marvellous work out there in the community.
And I believe they have an ex Ireland international. Can't think of his name.
Right.
He's involved in the
right.
training.
Very
as well.
Good. Very so. Good.
I'm going to get him in.
Okay.
Soon, again, so maybe he'll join us.
Absolutely.
I say it'll be in the new year now. At
this stage. Absolutely. Again, I couldn't do my job without all these extra spokes in the wheel, all these people out there on the ground that I work with. They make my job really nice, and it's great working with the.
What is your role exactly? I know I've spoken to you numerous occasions.
Senior Community Development Officer. So I just link in with the community and try and make the world a better place.
Yeah.
And we shrink that down. We're trying to make our local community
our world
a better place. And there is great things happening here on the north side. You
fantastic.
Can see the changes.
And that was John Healy, who was joined on Northside today by Madeleine Ebbs from DCC North Central. Next on Encore, Declan Ralph discusses this year's Philanthropist of the Year awards with Maura Horgan, Head of Marketing at the Community Foundation of Ireland, on the Week in Review.
2018 nominations are open now for the Philanthropist of the Year awards. And again, this year, nominations are being sought from community and voluntary and charity groups around the country which may want to recognise an outstanding patron who's helped their cause over the years. And I'm joined now by Maura Horgan. Maura is the Head of Marketing at the Community Foundation for Ireland. And we're going to chat about those awards. Maura, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Declan?
Great, yeah. So you've been running these now for a number of years. Can you tell me a little bit about the whole idea and why you do this and what's the reason for recognising people in this way?
For sure, I'd love to. Well, I mean, first of all, the Community Foundation, and it's probably not a very well-known charity because we work in a very subtle way, and I suppose a lot of people who come to us want to remain anonymous. So we would work with very generous people, often high net worth individuals who want to give back in a strategic way, but actually want to see that their giving is making a difference. So we, for example, gave around 6 million out to good causes last year around Ireland. So we're actually one of the biggest grant givers in the country. So we developed the awards. Actually, in 2018, it's going to be our 10th annual Philanthropist of the Year awards. And it's just a way to really honour people who are generous. And we just have a really nice lunch. We bring their families. And it's a way to really thank people or corporations. We also have the open nomination, actually, that you just talked about, is for the Corporate Philanthropist of the Year award. And it's just a way to hopefully inspire other people to give as well. Because there's incredibly generous people out there. Some people have given us millions to give out to good causes, and you wouldn't know their names.
Right.
So there's some really great people out there, and by doing the awards, we want to honour some people who are philanthropic and hopefully inspire other people to give as well.
Brilliant, yeah. And I noticed as well, I just looking at your website, that you make the point there that giving strategically is very underdeveloped. As a nation, Irish people are very good. You know, if there's a crisis somewhere, we dip our hands in our pockets and we really, we're one of probably the highest givers per capita around the globe, probably. But we're not very strategic about it, and it's that strategicness really is where you're focusing, I think.
That's completely right. I mean, the big difference between charity and philanthropy, charity is reactive and philanthropy is much more proactive. So you're trying to tackle the root causes of issues. For example, one amazing person who gave us some money, they wanted to look at the waiting list of autism diagnosis, because the earlier you diagnose, it's much better to start getting treatment. And through their incredible generosity, we have managed to actually cut down the waiting list for autism diagnosis in Ireland by 6 months. So that's one example. So it's a case of...
If you like your music with an alternative feed...
Sorry.
Tune in.
That's okay, Declan.
Sorry, things... pressing buttons here. Apologies.
The outbreak was coming in quick.
Yeah.
So it's really a way to actually tackle root causes. You know, we would work a lot with... or we give a lot of money to organisations like Safe Ireland, who are actually looking at domestic violence. and how do you educate men about that? Or we look at, I work a lot with the traveller community, LGBT rights, older people. So, you know, we fund lots of different causes, but we try and tackle root causes and actually try and make systemic change.
Yeah, so it as you say, it's that proactiveness rather than the reactiveness. And I know a lot of these people are want to remain anonymous, and yeah, you know, we have to respect that. But I mean, the people who actually win these awards, because you have you've three different awards that you certainly promote, and you say who the people are that win them. Can you give us a flavour of the type of individuals that would be that are in the public domain, if you like, that get involved?
Yeah,
this, be they corporates, or be they, you know, individuals or organisations that might help out?
Yeah, it's been a really wide mix of people, actually. I mean, one of our first winners was JP McManus, because he really has, you know, especially done a lot in Limerick, and it was very hard for us to get him to accept the awards, but he gratefully accepted and we were thrilled. So that
right.
was the first one.
Great.
We've had other people like Mairead Sorensen. She founded Butler's Chocolates, an incredible woman, and does a huge amount of work with overseas charities. We have had other people, probably more in the public eye, like Keith Duffy, for all that he does with autism, to Brendan O'Carroll for the amazing work he does with Vincent de Paul. So, you know, we've had the public faces, but then we've also had people that you probably wouldn't have heard of. There's somebody called Ralph Parks, who's done a lot of work in Limerick, you know, giving his time and money to a local group there. We've had so many different people, the amazing Calorie family, who do a lot in Roscommon. And then we have great corporates like Diageo, you know, who really did do philanthropy before it was called philanthropy, with the Guinness family. We've had other companies like Vodafone. You know, there's so many different companies. So it's a good mix, because there might be people who are in the public eye, or there might be people that just names aren't known by the Irish people, and that's fine.
Yeah.
It's just a chance to kind of tell people that there's different ways you can engage in philanthropy. And often some people who come to us, they might not be ultra high net worths, because often those type of people set up their own foundations. But they might be somebody who sold a business, or has realised an asset, or has just done very well, and they want to give back. And what we find is a lot of people who come to us want to actually work with their family and their kids as a family, and say, okay, these are the issues we as a family want to actually address with the wealth that they've been very appreciative of receiving. They actually want to give back. So it's amazing what motivates the people that come to us. It really is. It surprises me every day.
Yeah, excellent. So these awards are about recognising that, and, you know, just perhaps showcasing the work that you're involved with these, as you say, incredibly generous people. So what do you want people to do in terms of a nomination? How can people get involved in this to help you to decide what you need to do?
Great. So we actually bestow the award on the national and international winners. So what we would love your listeners to do is go to our website, www.communityfoundation.ie, that's communityfoundation.ie, and we are looking, and it closes on Monday, actually, so people have the Sunday to do it, but we're looking for any community groups where they might have a corporate patron, or they've had corporate philanthropic support, and we'd love to get nominations for that, because we open the corporate to a public nomination process by charity groups. The key thing is you must ask the corporates in advance, are they okay to be nominated? Because, you know, we want to make sure they're happy to turn up at the event in February and then be honoured in public. So really, any great community groups out there all over the country, we'd love to hear from you, but get those nominations in quick. We close on Monday
at 5 p.m. Okay, that's fantastic, Maura. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me this morning about the really great work that the foundation does, and working with those, as we said, incredibly generous people. And if, again, the website is communityfoundation.ie if people would like to nominate a corporate, maybe a local charity or local community organisation here would like to you know, have somebody recognised that's been helping them out, maybe even locally or perhaps on a wider scale. And it's nice to get those people recognised for what they do.
And finally, on this week's edition of Encore, Joni Tarrant is joined on Northside today by Councillor Ailish Ryan of the Workers' Party, where they chat about the recent Ardesh and the homeless crisis here in Dublin.
Good morning, Ailish. How are you?
Hi there. How's it going?
It is going very well. Well, it's going well now that I can talk to you, Ailish. you recently had your Ardesh. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the Workers' Party held their Ardesh last weekend, and it went well. We had about 200 people there, a good debate on just, you know, the kinds of issues that are necessary for us to tackle if we want to change the pretty abysmal conditions that many people still find themselves living in. I guess a big theme for us was that we're 10 years on from a recession and things haven't changed for most people in the country.
But, Eilish, keep the recovery going.
Yeah, well, I think even Fine Gael regret that one now at this stage, you know. I'd say they wish they'd never used it. And, you know, I doubt we'll be hearing anything similar coming from them in the next election. You know, the reality is you can have all the economic recovery you want, but if you have rents going up by hundreds of percent every year, that's going to be what determines how people feel, not whether or not they have whether or not the GDP is going in the right direction, you know.
Eilish, I have seen a couple of different contributions that you've made recently to different programmes, and you know, I have said on numerous occasions when I'm sitting this side of the microphone that it is absolutely astounding how uncommon common sense is. And I have to say that I like giving a platform to people who speak common sense. Why is it that people who have their hands on the tillers of power can't use common sense? And I refer particularly, Eilish, something that I know you see every day of the week in the constituency you're in there.
Yeah.
We have a homeless situation now, which is, without any exaggeration, an emergency, and we have a government and ministers and people involved who are dancing on the head of a pin, and they're calling it a crisis, they're calling it everything else except what it is, an emergency. We had the situation last week where two people died on the streets of our capital. I think I saw a figure, and I only seen it mentioned once, surprisingly enough, in the media last week, where I think something like 17 people died last year on our streets.
My God, yeah. I know. I mean, it's absolutely outrageous. I mean, I think the thing is really that, you know, we keep thinking we've hit the lowest point that we can possibly hit, and the government will have to try and start doing it in future. And but they're not. Like, they seem to be content to allow people to continue to die on the streets, content to allow people to continue to be evicted from their homes. And I'm not sure how many people are going to have to die before they change that. And it just goes to show the amount of pressure that's on politicians from the likes of developers and the banks to really just focus on making housing make money for people instead of actually tackling the scandalous homelessness crisis in the country.
I think it's very important that we point out, Eilish, that, you know, with 20, 30 years ago, there was a kind of a stereotype of people, and we had a real, I suppose, something that was handed on to us, a sort of a class distinction between, you know, people who came out of a council house, a corporation house, people who owned their own house, and then we had the wealthy. Nowadays, you know, as you said there, you can have a good job, you can have a state job, and I'm thinking particularly, we'll say, I'll just pick two of them off the top of my head. You can have a nurse married to a teacher, or a teacher married to a guard. Those two incomes will not sustain a mortgage in Dublin at the moment.
That's the thing. And, you know, I mean, in reality, they never did. The reason people in Ireland were in a position to get mortgages was because many of them had been sold council houses, which they in turn then sold on or were able to pass on to their children. And that was a massive transfer of wealth from the state, effectively to banks, because people then were able to take out mortgages because they had this kind of collateral. So, you know, really mortgages have never been a financially sustainable solution. In the Celtic Tiger years, the only reason mortgages were available is because banks were lending far more than they should have to people to buy properties. So what we'd be saying is that, you know, we just need to leave that behind. This isn't a temporary problem that a nurse and a teacher can't buy a house together. It's a problem that we just need to say, you know, that system will not work again, and we need to move on to a new one. So you think about what people want from owning a home. Normally what they would say is they want full security. They want to be guaranteed that they won't have to pay exorbitant amounts when they're retired. They want to know that if they get into trouble financially, that they won't lose their home because they can't rent, because they can't pay the rent. You can have all of those things if it's the state that's renting to people on a sustainable rent that's linked to your income. So if you become unemployed, your rent goes down. If you get a pay rise, your rent goes up. And then when you retire and you're on a lower pension, your rent will go down again. That's a sustainable system, and it gives people all of the things they want from home ownership without having the burden of a mortgage around their neck.
Yeah, and of course it does have the added benefit, Eilish, as you pointed out, of that there's a constant flow of hard cash basically coming into the coffers of the state. One other thing which irks me unbelievably, Eilish, is the amount of property that's lying idle. And I'm talking both of private houses, private dwellings, and also areas, and I'm thinking particularly here, I referred to it a couple of times before, of Thomas Street, where there's a lot of commercial properties lying absolutely idle, which could quite easily be converted and reused to house people, and yet, no, they'd rather leave them lying idle, and nobody seems to be... We hear a lot of talk about it, but I don't see movement.
No, I mean, you know, and again, it comes back to that thing, like, our constitution says that people have a right to have their private property protected, and that's always held up as being sacrosanct. We're told that's why we can't have downward rent reviews, that's why we can't have rent caps, that's why we can't have a vacant home tax, which is, or things that are totally normal in other countries. But actually, if you look at the constitution, it says that that's only the case until it starts to interfere with the general good. And, you know, that's the case with all of our constitutional rights. If there's a public good, that the public good will always trump them. And that's been completely forgotten. So the government just parrots this line of, yeah, it would be great if we could tax them, but unfortunately we're constitutionally bound to protect private property. Now, I'd say if the government held a referendum in the morning about the needs, whether or not people would like to scrap that right to protect private property at all costs, that would pass easily, because people know how ludicrous that is.
Now, can I just move away from that for the moment, Eilish, and just to talk about the Workers' Party? We'll say, and it's just something, since the retirement, I suppose, of Joe Higgins... Now, I know there have been a few people who have kept up the mantra in the Dáil, but do you think that maybe the overall media presence of the Workers' Party has slipped back a little bit?
So the Workers' Party had 70 days in the 80s, and I think that, you know, at that stage, what you really saw was a party that was able to put forward a set of policies that were very radical, proposed fundamentally transforming how our society and our economy are run, but they're also very detailed and very convincing to people. And they never believed that it would be enough just to be in the Dáil kind of advocating those policies, that you'd need to have them fought for on the streets, like we saw with the water charges most recently as well. And I guess that's still our proposal. So, like, as well as writing very detailed proposals like our solidarity housing document, we're also involved in starting up campaigns like the Campaign for Public Housing, which is a broad campaign made up of a number of different political parties and activists. And that's able to kind of bring people onto the streets and fight for the kind of public housing that we put forward in our documents. And I think that's really, you know, what's needed to make any kind of a change at all is for people on the street to be kind of backing up what political parties are saying in the Dáil. Otherwise, you just won't see any progress.
That was Encore for this week. Encore will be back here on Near FM at the same time next Sunday afternoon. That's 4 p.m. Have yourselves a terrific week. Bye-bye.